Who is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Cole Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get it.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor!
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Cube Show, Sports Radio, 7:30, The Ump, 103.9 FM, live from the Southern Army Wholesale Studios. As we do each and every morning to start hour number three, we visit with our good friend,
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. How are you guys?
Doing well. A couple things I wanted to get to you and discuss. Did you see the Chris Cyborg comments that she feels like she's being picked on because she's been drug tested three times in the last month?
I have not seen that, but I do know that Cyborg is crazy, and Cyborg always has some sort of weird excuse. You know, the reality is she has failed a drug test, and so if you have failed, you're more likely to be tested more frequently. And I don't think that's necessarily picking on you. I think that's making sure that you're not an underhanded cheat like you've proven yourself.
I mean, number one, are you being picked on if you signed up for it? I mean, this is what you signed up for, right? This is part of the USADA deal, that if you're going to fight in the octagon, you have the potential of being tested as much as they want.
I had a buddy who ran afoul with the law before, and he didn't just do it once. It happened a few times. And so then, just randomly, he would get pulled over, and he would say, "Why are they picking on me?" And I'm like, "Well, you see, this doesn't happen to me." You know, it's like, come on, dude. You can't cheat and then be like, "Why are you still thinking I'm cheating?" Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like she has really anything to complain about. Like you mentioned, having failed a test, would you agree, consistently under the accusation of performance enhancing drugs?
People have been saying she was cheating, you know, long before she ever took her first test. And, you know, once USADA got involved, it was pretty easy to prove that she was indeed cheating. And anytime you have that situation, it's going to happen more often. And if you're an active fighter, you know, I know John Jones was tested like 10 times before his most recent fight, and he passed like 9 of them, but it was still that other one that got him. So it kind of is what it is. This is the environment we have now with MMA, and it's unfortunate because I do think I enjoyed it before all of the testing, you know, the as stringent of a test that people are doing, because they could actually deliver on some of the cards. And I don't know why this environment exists where people want to cheat, but they do. And once you're proven as a cheater, I mean, you kind of got to live with the consequences, man.
Yeah.
Conrad, just speaking of people who are failing tests and getting tested in general, did you see the story from about Dave Palumbo, who was a former nutritionist for Triple H, where he was, I guess, in an interview, and he was being asked about how Triple H looks so good when he does some of these occasional matches like WrestleMania and all, and they're asking him whether or not, you know, he takes anabolic steroids or he takes HGH, and Palumbo's saying, no, you're not allowed to do that, but they could take testosterone replacement, and would Triple H like to do it? Of course he would like to do it if he could. What's the kind of fallout from this from a guy who's pretty well known for his steroid use?
Well, you know, there's not going to be any fallout for Triple H at all. but there's going to be fallout for this guy. This guy doesn't have a gig anymore. I mean, there's no way you can come out and just talk about the way to hack the WWE drug code and still keep a job. So that's not happening. But Jinder Mahal's trainer actually came out and kind of went through, and he's the current WWE champion, I should say. He came out a few months ago and did some interviews about Jinder's transformation because lots of people, lots of wrestling fans, had lots of questions about Jinder because a few years ago, Jinder didn't look like he does now. And people started to say, oh, well, if you look at his chest, it looks like he's got some gynecomastia going on. And, oh, if you look at his back, it looks like when he sweats, the sweat has to ride a four-wheeler down his back. He's got a considerable back. So people started to just jump to conclusions. You've got a guy whose body's transformed. Are these two side effects? Blah, blah, blah. Well, then you do some digging on the guy he's working with, and you realize, wow, this guy's been in a lot of trouble for steroids. So it starts to feel a little bit where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't know why so many times the guy behind the guy is not just happy getting paid being the guy behind the guy. But when you step out and you do interviews like this and you bring attention to yourself, it kind of lets everybody know that there's a double standard in WWE. And if you're a lower card guy, it's fall in line. But if you're a top draw or you're a name or you're the boss's daughter's husband, you pretty much do what you want.
Yeah, and there's a moment in there where it revealed that, and I didn't mean to imply that Triple H was the guy who was testing positive. It was this Dave Palumbo guy that there's a condition where you get a little.
You don't have to pretend like none of us really believe Triple H is taking HGH and steroids. It's okay.
No, they're all clean. Look, I'm a responsible journalist on the show, Cole.
Triple H is on the gas, and there's no concern as to whether or not he's taking performance enhancing drugs. But I also believe that at his income level, he's probably doing it smarter than most people would. I mean, the dude's making millions and millions and millions of dollars every year, so it's probably not a big deal if he wants to spend $1,500 a week to do it right.
Correct.
And it's not a massive investment for him relative to the income he's producing. The trouble is when you've got a kid who makes, you know, $1,600 a month at his real job, and he's trying to, you know, scrape together $80 to get this bootleg stuff and doing it himself instead of having it administered by a professional. Now, sure, nothing is better than something here, but if you're going to do it right. And a lot of the roster, Triple H included, are doing it right.
Is that what it costs at that high level to be able to do it in that neighborhood? How much per week?
It depends on what all you're doing.
Yeah.
HGH is very expensive. Very.
And I'm looking into getting some of it. I just didn't know how much it would. That's a lot, man.
Well, if you're trying to get on that HGH plan, Conrad, there's an easy way that you can find a little extra cash to scrape it up and be able to. How can you help our listeners?
I hate you for that. I was trying to make that transition myself. I wanted to jump in. I was like, I know how you can afford HGH. 425-0105. Boy, you could be a man mountain beast if you just get rid of the credit card debt and call First Family. We're going to get you that Cuban growth homework cash you've been looking for. Punch in your phone. Put us to the test. It's 425-0105.
Great stuff, Conrad. Look forward to catching up tomorrow, man.
Thanks, guys.
But Conrad does make a good point. I mean, he could do it under the supervision of someone who knows, maybe even a licensed physician, dietitian, nutritionist, whatever. And also, like I say, oftentimes Triple H is in that spot of a lot of celebrities that we sort of look at and obsess with physically, the shape they're in. Think about the amount of time he has to devote to it.
Yeah.
He's got people preparing his meals, bringing him his meals, telling him when to eat, telling him what supplements to take, nutrition companies giving him supplements to take to hopefully promote. And then the illegal stuff comes into play on top of that. So it ain't real hard to be in shape if you're Triple H.
I hope you're not insinuating that anybody like Sylvester Stallone, who's getting near 80, is not natural. And I hope you're not implying like The Rock is not completely natural.
Mark, you see how hard he works?
Harder than anybody else on the planet.
No days off.
I get some people are more gifted than others genetically.
Yeah.
Come on.
God, that used to be the worst, man. We had guys on the team.
When you got shot up with steroids?
We had guys on the team. You know, one thing that I am kind of proud of is I can legitimately on the air say I've never taken steroids. Not one time. HGH I have. I'm not afraid to admit it, because when you have your fifth knee surgery and you think you're going to have trouble bouncing back and you're getting old, that felt like a good idea. And I feel like it worked, because I feel like I bounced back pretty quick from it. So
when was this fifth knee surgery?
Like, oh, 7 maybe?
Okay.
6?
Well, you're not actively competing in a league, so.
Oh, no. This is way past. I didn't even know what HGH was when I played college football. We had guys on the team. I mean, literally, abs looked like they could be on the cover of Men's Fitness every day of the week. Pizza, McDonald's, fries, ice cream, like cookies walking in the facility. And it's just like, dude, stop. This is so not fair. Like, so not fair. And just eat like crap every day, all day, and still just like shred it up. You're like, man, that's the life right there.
It will be, but that's going to catch up to them, because they're going to still eat like
that. Nah, it's probably not. It's probably not.
But at 33, and they're still eating like that, it will catch up to them.
Yeah, but just not like it catches up to us.
Well, no, but I mean, they're going to get a little bit of.
It's like you said, some guys are just genetically gifted, and they're created differently. So let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweet!
In response to our cold question of the day, B. Dizzle, not to be confused with Bill Dizzle, at CMAC underscore 11, and Willie Jones both responding, none of the above, and how about none? I don't understand why the question was difficult to ascertain. The cold question of the day is, who is most likely to be coaching in the SEC in 2018? None of the above actually was not an option.
You people who respond to these poll questions like this are going to make me cuss on air. Like, I almost said the F word. Like, I don't understand why you don't get this. It's not the end of the world. Answer the damn question. And by the way, if you don't believe it's either any one of them, keep scrolling, brother. Don't need you to take time to reply your snarky-ass comments. Just fall in line.
James Kitchens responds to yesterday's cold question of the day. Hashtag mandate. Is that like he's mandating we listen to it, or saying two gentlemen are be going out for dinner?
I think, as you often tell me with Arkiri's rap, it's open for your interpretation.
Bill Clark tweets in, that is at Bill Dizzle, at Cube Show, is B. Dizzle my fake NWO Sting? I don't know. He's got Billy Idol as his profile picture.
Oh, we need to hook these two up. Bill Dizzle, tweet at CMAC underscore 11. CMAC underscore 11. Get that going.
What is it? CMAC underscore 11?
Yep, CMAC underscore 11. Get at that, Bills. Multiple Bills. Multiple B. Dizzles.
Jamie C. responds, BP is like 4-6 in his last 10. Is the SEC courting that level of talent?
May I ask you another question? Who tweeted that? It's one able to say the name.
At Crush Groove.
Hey, Crush Groove. You may not have heard what I just said a moment ago, and that's fair. But I'd like for you to turn on the program right now and listen closely. Shut up. Shut up and vote. If you don't want to vote, keep scrolling. I'm tired of these responses, Cole. It's so ridiculous. It's like when I hear people, like, somebody say, like, something, like, Trump does something crazy, and people are like, yeah, but what about Hillary's emails? Shut up, she's not president. Let's focus on the argument at hand. Let's focus on the question. We got four options. If you don't like any one of them, just move on. Go away.
No, they have to respond.
You don't have to respond. Aleck. We didn't give you that option.
Mike but scary at that guy Mike 74 responds to the cold question of the day. Good to see people taking at OU underscore Coach Stoops at his word. He's not coaching again anytime soon. Why hasn't he changed his Twitter handle? Because he's not a coach anymore.
Also, again, don't vote for him in the poll then. I don't understand you people. I like interacting with people on Twitter. This isn't interacting. This is you bloviating over something stupid.
Mike Sparkman responds to the cold question of the day. Nick Saban. Again, not an option.
Not an option.
When did poll questions become so difficult? It's one of four options. Choose one or GT.
Raise your hand if
FOH.
Raise your hand if you voted for the president in the last election. Any candidate. Did you also write in a response? Did you write in Donald Duck? Did you type in your mom? Did you type in anything? Did you pick one of the responses? Which one of you guys are you? Because I don't like what you're doing. It's not how this works. If you don't like the responses, don't vote. But shut up about it.
Fawn on my laces tweets in, does that Cole Kublik need to help pull Red Ass's panties out of his crack? I probably should have skipped that one.
Sorry?
I didn't proofread that one.
Wow. Man. Use a little discretion here.
Arky doesn't do crack. I vouch for that. Triple H may do steroids, but Arky doesn't do crack.
Triple H does whatever's anabolic.
Todd Carlton responds to the cold question of the day.
Don't you do it, Todd. Don't you do it. I swear to God, I will quit this show. If you want me off this show, this is how you do it.
What about Dabo? Okay. Is it Clemson or Bama for him?
All right.
Any chance he ends up somewhere else? Tennessee, Auburn?
All right. All right. I'm going to kill some. This is what happens. This is the part where
I'll tell you what about Dabo.
I quit this show, I yell the F word, and I walk off.
I'll tell you what about Dabo.
I'll go become a marketing agent.
He wasn't an option for that poll.
Still isn't. You get four choices. Move forward.
B-Rant tweets into the show, this is what's wrong with society today. Check a box. No, Susie, you can't write in your own answer.
Do you go down 72, like in Madison, and like go past all these fast food places?
This is going to be good.
And if you don't like the fast food place, you walk into the place and say, hey, McDonald's, I hate your nuggets. I don't want to eat here.
Better yet.
Not an option.
Better yet, do you pull into that place and ask for a Chick-fil-A sandwich?
Why don't you just, honest to God.
Do you pull into McDonald's and, I was like, two soft tacos, no cheese, and a quesadilla.
Huh? Must not have been clear. dos tacos, softo, el bueno.
I was going to take that down the street.
I don't know anything about Meryl Streep. I just would like my tacos, please. Why can't we just follow directions? These are the people that paint outside the box, don't they? They get these paint by numbers, and like it says number one's supposed to be red. Yeah, painting green, and so your picture looks stupid at the end of it. You have options. You have four of them, and a fifth one. Keep moving. Respond one of your dumbass quips. Something else. Whenever I make one of my vaunted penis jokes somewhere. Respond to that.
Vaunted?
Whenever I sit there and say something bad about Alabama or Auburn, respond to that. Don't respond to a poll question with another option.
Rick Carter responds to our poll question. Voted Rick. Petrino, but wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, personally.
Okay, this is acceptable. That's he voted, and he's telling us why he would disagree with voting for him.
We don't need your qualifications on your vote.
I'm just okay with that slight interaction.
We don't need it.
That's a modification.
B Dizzle at CMAC _11 responds to the poll question. Don't be hating because you made a stupid list. None of those coaches will head to that train wreck on the plains. I'm gonna go back and read the question for you. Who is most likely to be coaching in the SEC in 2018?
Which Auburn is in?
Also 13 other schools in.
It's not a stupid list. It's our list. And if you don't like it, go away. Scroll further. There's other stuff to do, man.
Joshua Wilbanks responds to the Cole question of the day. James Franklin. Jason Brock responds to the list. Good Lord.
Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I don't know exactly what
he could say one of the programs, but I don't know if all of them.
Matthew Knowles tweets in, loving this at Red Ass Archie this morning.
Mike Sparkman says, actually, yes, I did write in a candidate for the presidential election. Good. Good. At least we're not supplying the leader of the free world with this one. Let's just get control of ourselves, people. That's all I'm asking.
How about this? Blake Lovell, at the Blake Lovell tweets, here for SEC Basketball Media Day in Nashville.
Oh, yes.
Lots of interviews, podcasts, and more coming on southeasthoops.com today. Stay tuned. Yeah, no, I don't have time for SEC basketball today. Sorry.
What is Media Day, though?
That's good.
A lot of stuff to talk about.
A lot of stuff not to talk about, also.
Oh, you're going to be the football guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk NBA. That's actually happening right now.
Well, I mean, for one guy, it's not.
I'm saying there's a lot of other things that are actually taking place that we could spend our time on, as opposed to the mystery of SEC basketball.
Yeah, like people replying to our poll ridiculously.
Well, your poll often gets ridiculous responses from what I hear.
Listen, I just want people to vote on it. That's all. Make your choice. If you don't like it, put it away. Go somewhere else. I offer it to you for free. This show's free, by the way. It's public access, basically.
All right,
we'll charge you a damn thing for it.
We'll get to a break.
Follow our rules.
Come back and talk some of this weekend's college football games next.
Cole, it's time for the Phone Restore Call of the Day. Brought to you by our buddies at Phone Restore. Cracked screen on your device. Cellular or mobile.
Yeah. Fixed mine a few weeks ago.
Maybe your tablet's got a few things going wrong with it. Your computer itself, your laptop, not working quite right. Give the guys at Phone Restore a shot at making your old day. PhoneRestore.com is the website. 900 Bob Wallace Avenue. 900 Bob Wallace Avenue is where you find them. Call the barn.
Hey, can I just say before we move forward, Joshua Wilbanks responds to our cold question of the day, Ricky Bobby. I thought that might make you happy.
Today will be my last show.
All right, get on.
I'll bring somebody
else.
I'm
kidding.
I need to do this. The barn, Cole. The barn, she is on fire. And she burns quite brightly right now. That's at Auburn University, where things not going quite great for the old Auburn Tigers. And Gus Malzahn had himself an old press conference, his weekly press conference. And your call of the day starts with the very opening sentence he said to start the press conference. Gus, let's get this thing going now.
Okay, starting out, just want to let everybody know Kyle Davis has been dismissed from our team for breaking team rules. We wish him nothing but the best moving forward.
Okay, well that is...
It feels like an important way to start your press conference.
That's coming out the gate hot. All right.
Swinging.
Everybody sitting, everybody recording. Here we go.
Okay, starting out, just want to let everybody know Kyle Davis has been dismissed from our team.
Okay. All right, hold on. I barely got my pen out. Okay, here we go.
Coming out throwing gas.
Okay, so big news there as a very talented receiver. And one of the core that I said at the beginning of this season was one of the best wide receiving cores I've ever seen at Auburn is now down one very talented wide receiver who has missed time already this season. Now he'll miss the rest of this season. Cole, there is more to this press conference than meets the eye, and more that you may not have heard from some of your local people talking. Cole, he was asked, Gus Malzahn that is, comparing this to other off-the-field issues. Not the first time Auburn's had to kick a receiver off the team. And the Gus Malzahn era?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to compare. Every situation is different, and I'm not going to agree with that comparison of the former wide receiver. But, you know, anytime, you know, as a head coach.
Wait, hold on. of the former wide receiver? It's just like Bama Hate Week, and you have to say the team in red, like the former wide receiver.
And I'm not going to agree with that comparison of the former wide receiver, but
I feel like Gus Malzahn's throwing shade, not intentionally, but unintentionally throwing shade.
Yeah,
former wide receiver, but you know, anytime you know, as a head coach, a player has to be dismissed. You don't. That hurts, but every situation is different, and we've got a lot of great kids on this team, and anytime that happens, it's just another opportunity for someone else.
Sure, sure. The best part about kicking a receiver off the team, other receivers get to play.
That's positive.
If you want to look at the glass extremely full there, hey, it's a good thing we kicked this guy off the team. Guys who aren't as good as him get to play now.
Now they get a chance.
There's a really contentious moment that happens in this press conference. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But first, remember earlier this week, we talked about a story that was written on AL.com. I think it was Thomas Verde who wrote the story about how Jarrett Stidham was not allowed to audible at the line of scrimmage. You know, Jarrett Stidham at the end of the game was talking about how people were being lined up, 8-9 guys into the box. They're walking a 9th guy up. And then on Monday, Sunday, when the players met with the media, he said the same thing. He said that they were walking somebody up to the box, they're walking a 9th guy up, and he sort of insinuated that Chip Lindsey, it's up to him really to sort of make the calls. Regardless, we actually got a chance to ask Gus Malzahn, can Jarrett Stidham audible? Is he allowed to?
Yeah, Jarrett, I'm glad you asked that, because Jarrett probably has more flexibility than any quarterback that we've had since I've been in college, just from the standpoint to change protections, the RPOs, and the decision-making. He probably has more freedom than any quarterback we've had.
He always tails off at the end he's talking. So does it seem like Jarrett Stidham has more freedom than any quarterback they've had?
Well, first you would have to tell me how much freedom his other quarterbacks have had.
I feel like, Chris Todd had a ton of freedom. Barry Trotter, a lot of freedom. Cam Newton, a little bit of freedom. And granted, that was before he was the head coach.
We talked about this on the roundtable.
How much freedom he had.
We mentioned this on the roundtable yesterday. And again, the frustrating part for me is not even whether or not he's able to or what he's able to audible to at the line of scrimmage. It's that you write a headline based on a quote that doesn't equate to the headline. That is frustrating to me. So,
yeah, the headline, Jarrett Stidham is not allowed to.
Quantify that.
I need that to actually be in the audio that I hear.
Or the quote written somewhere.
I need to hear more than – that's probably up to Coach Lindsey as far as how we are handling the audibles. Anywho, let's move now to the contentious part of today's program. You know, a lot of people are frustrated with Auburn's play calling. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Not Alabama fans. Everybody else. At one point, I think it was 17 consecutive runs on first down, which is kind of...
I got to get this number because I've heard it was 19, and someone asked me last night if it was 22.
Ooh, 22. I didn't think it got to that many. But on first down, you kind of know that they're going to run the ball. And whether or not it's 17, 19...
Doesn't everyone run the ball on first down?
Or 22, it's kind of... that many times consecutively? That would be one of the plays that maybe Ed Orgeron was talking about Auburn was giving them after the game. So, a lot of running on first down. A lot of running in general. They thought they were bringing Chip Lindsey into balance. A question was asked by the reporter. I'm going to play the question because the question is the best part. The question is legitimately contentious. And he's almost ticked off that Gus Malzahn is trying to tell us that he is not responsible for the play calls. So I think it's James Krepia who is
okay.
I recognize the voice.
Guys, you continue to reiterate that you're not calling the plays, but all statistical evidence indicates that you have at least influence over it. The run pass play breakdown on first down is almost in line exactly with how this was during your tenure as both offensive coordinator and as head coach. It is not in any way reflective of what Chip did at Southern Miss or Arizona State or what Red is doing now at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
When the evidence shows, and no one, no fan, nobody watching TV believes that you're not calling the plays, Why do you continue to emphasize that you have no
well,
okay, first of all, it sounds like a White House briefing is what's happening.
Going hard.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is national security matters that are at stake. Mm-hmm. But a very important question. People are trying to believe. People want to believe, I think, Gus Malzahn. Maybe not now. But people wanted to believe that he gave up play calling. And it looks much the same. Like, in fact, if you look at the percentage, I had the tweet saved. I can't find it right now. The percentage of runs versus pass called this year for Auburn so far is higher than when Chip Lindsey was at Southern Miss or at Arizona State for runs. It is higher than what Rhett Lashley is doing at UConn right now. It is right in line to what Auburn has been used to doing. So, even though contentiously asked,
yeah,
ruffles a few feathers, James Crapia basically saying, I know you're lying to me. Tell me the truth. Where are the tapes?
Arizona State or what Red is doing now at UConn. Mm-hmm. When the evidence shows and no one, no fan, nobody watching TV believes that you're not calling the plays, why do you continue to emphasize that you have no
well,
okay, now there is a good part that Gus Malzahn...
He's speaking for a lot of people there, by the way.
Yeah,
no one watching?
Everybody.
Like, you're telling me there's some meemaw out there that doesn't think Gus Malzahn's calling plays?
No, there ain't no meemaw out there believing that anymore. Not these Auburn meemaws. now, Gus Malzahn does get a nice little barb in there, too, which I thought was kind of funny. A little bit of a back and forth. And I bet Gus Malzahn and James Crapia don't like each other.
Well, you know, I'll say this. As a head coach, we're going to have a philosophy. And we're a run play action team, throwing the ball vertically. And we hired Chip to be more balanced. And we are more balanced. So you need to throw that in there, too.
throw that it in your there. Little evidence pile, son. We are more balanced.
Throw it.
By the way, what he's referring to is the balance. It's the percentage of runs versus passes. That's what he's...
I thought he was talking about the balance of the force.
Oh, you're right. That's my bad. I'll go back and... recalibrate my force
to be more balanced, and we are more balanced, so you need to throw that in there too.
Didn't James just make the accusation that you're not more balanced?
I know, it's like you need to throw that in your pipe and smoke it.
Who's right?
You know, Chip's doing a good job, and like I said, the second half we didn't score points, and that
well, that's almost
really
Butch Jones's right there.
For the record,
that's almost Butch Jones level right there.
Completely factual. Did not score any points in the second half. So you can't catch him on that lie.
And like I said, the second half, we just didn't score points. And that's really the, you know, the tough part right there. But we're going to rebound, and Chip's going to do a super job.
He's gonna do
I actually
super
agree
job.
That...
when's it going to start?
That's why they lost.
Chip's going to do points. Well,
that'll get you, by the way. I mean, we talk a lot of these intricacies of football. But let me tell you, Rubik's Cube like, doesn't even take this into account. Not scoring points?
That should be big on there.
That will
there.
Bite you in the rear.
I feel like that should be number one on the Rubik's Cube.
That will keep you from winning games. People don't buy into that. Maybe we should look more into it.
This is
not
a seven,
scoring points.
This is a 17-minute press conference yesterday for Gus Malzahn. No one asked a question about Arkansas until minute 15. It's Arkansas game week, for the record.
Well, yeah, Arkansas is that bad.
They're just like, why are you calling plays? Why isn't Chip calling plays? Why can't Jared audible? Why can't Stidham call the plays? Why are you running the ball all the time? Why are you doing this?
I do think it's interesting that not one
why
person
Kyle off the team.
Not one person asked about how big Arkansas's quarterback is. I feel like that's an easy media question to go to.
They had time if they had just kept going. At one point, a reporter asked,
who'd you compare him to?
At one point, a reporter asked,
Shaq.
Shaq O'Neal?
Big Country Reeves.
At what point a reporter said, I would like to ask a question about Arkansas now, and Gus Malzahn said, please, yes, please. I'd like that. Get I think me, the phrase was, I'd like that.
Get me away from this play-calling madness.
Let me ask you a question. There are a lot of fans who I've read on the old Twitter sphere that are not happy with Gus Malzahn for many reasons, but one of them they see is that a lot of fans think Gus Malzahn doesn't get it, like how much this means to them. And they especially got that sense, and I think it especially got echoed and ramped up when he said after the game that this is just, you know, it's just one loss. We'll bounce back from it. Some Auburn fans were of the opinion that Gus didn't understand how badly Auburn fans wanted this win because obviously of where it was at. And where the team was, obviously.
And how long it had been. Right. And what was at the time in front of this team still, which I don't believe is there anymore.
And that Gus was just, he gave a press conference as if it almost felt as if it was just another routine day. You know, it didn't seem like it hurt him. And not all of them have to hurt you, I guess. But I think Auburn fans, if they want to, if you want to keep your job, at least in your fan base behind you, I think fans would love to hear that you have some kind of raw emotion behind a game the way that went. And Gus Malzahn just sort of treated it like they had lost to Arkansas.
You think
because Arkansas is not nearly as big a game as LSU is, obviously where it was. Auburn fans wanted that so bad.
So you're saying you think his demeanor after this game was a little bit too aw shucks-ish?
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, we'll bounce back. And that's how he's been. That's how he's always been. But this one in particular, I think, especially when Auburn fans had already started clamoring for him before the season, then early into the season, once you get past the Clemson and the Mercer games, sort of tailed off once they saw
the way
how they
LSU
started
looked,
SEC play.
Your confidence began to grow that this was going to finally happen.
Sure, and then the way the game started for you, that Gus Malzahn just doesn't get it for them. And I think he lost a lot of Auburn fans because of that over the weekend. Have you heard any of that sentiment? That he just doesn't quite get it?
Yeah, some. I mean, you know, Dunaway wanted to play this game yesterday, which was a little
games.
It was a little confusing to begin with. But, you know, he wanted your opinion on what is the percentage of Auburn fans that are unhappy with the head coach right now. And they did this with a lot of schools. You know, I placed it around, you know, 60%. And I had people on Twitter tell me I was crazy that it was much higher than that. Now, I also think if you're going to talk about doing this 2 days after you lose to LSU, for what? It's been 17 years, but that's it every other year. So, I mean, is it 8 in a row, 9 in a row they've lost there?
Quick math. Nine straight.
So, you're obviously going to have more people upset right this second. But I do think that some of what you're saying is real. I do think that some of the commentary is, I mean, it's not on Butch Jones's level yet, but you're getting some things that are sort of starting to point in that direction of, hey, we still control our own destiny, we'll rebound.
And like I said, the second half, we didn't score points.
Fans don't want to hear that.
It's like, yeah, we know, we watched the game. We don't want to hear what we watched the game for. We want to hear you hurt.
But let me turn this around.
Okay. Sort of feel this.
You said that. Let me turn this around. As if you're an Auburn fan, what do you want to hear from the head coach after this? I mean, 866-485-9867. You can let us know. What do you want your head coach to say after a loss like this? Because I don't think there's anything that he can say that I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, man, this thing, they got it. We lost the game. I mean, for me, you lost the game. Either tell me what you think you did in the game, what you think you did strategically that didn't work that you won't do again, other than not score points. I can read the box score and know you didn't score points.
And this is going to sound really fruity and snowflakey.
Coming from you, fruity is not a surprise.
Fruity pebbles are delicious. I think Auburn fans wanted to hear it more in the tone of his voice because he said the words the right way for the most part. He said, this is on me, this is on the head coach. But when he talked about how yesterday in the press conference, he also mentioned, which we didn't play, that the philosophy going into the halftime was, well, how many points could LSU really score on our defense in the second half? Auburn fans hear things like that and they're like, that's your game plan? To wait it out?
I talked to Ian Fitzsimmons yesterday off the air. He did sideline for that game for ESPN Radio. And he told me their conversation before he went in for half was, Coach, I know you don't like giving up a late score like that. Changes momentum. How do you have your kids look past that? Ian Fitzsimmons told me that Gus Malzahn's response was, we feel good about where we are right now. We're going to go try to run the ball, run this clock, and get out of here with a win. We're fine.
Not good. Josh is on the phone. Josh, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I tell you what I'd like to hear him say. I would like an explanation why he wants to run the ball that much. When are you guys aware of what Jarrett Stidham's passing efficiency is on first down?
Not offhand, no.
38 of 49, Cole, 77.6%. How does your head coach not know your strengths on first down?
I mean, I don't have an answer for that.
What has he got? He's got five touchdowns off first down. I want to say he's just got five all year long, and every one of them's come off first down. He does have one pick on first down, but my point is, how does your head coach not know your strength like that on first down, and you still want to run the ball 17 times? Lance Taylor said he watched a lot of Arizona State football last year, and nothing of Chip Lindsey's offense indicates running the ball 17 straight times on first down. So I just want an explanation for why you're getting away from, you know, what you're successful doing. That's all I'd like to know.
Thanks, Josh.
Good stuff.
Maybe because
I will say this,
it's not what Gus Malzahn wants to do.
Now, listen, I'm not.
Doesn't matter what the strength is.
I don't mean this in defense of Malzahn, and I do believe that there is obstruction somewhere, whether that is the game plan, the menu of which plays are able to be called, whether that is play calling, and it could be something as simple as no run the ball here. It doesn't have to be sending in buck sweep right and whatever the formation would be, you know, spider wide two banana. I don't know, whatever. But I do think that there is an obstruction somewhere. But I also don't think we can directly take what Arizona State did last year to what Auburn was planning on doing this year. The personnel is not the same. The talent's not the same. The league is not the same. You don't manage those two offenses exactly the same way. And it's a little irresponsible to take what Southern Miss did a few years ago and say that that should mirror what Auburn should do this year. Stop it. That was Nick Mullins throwing the ball around in Conference USA. But stop. That should never mirror one another. Southern Miss and Auburn's offenses should never mirror one another. That's not. Based on personnel, they're not the same. And you don't do the same things in those two leagues to win games offensively. Now, again, that's not a complete in defense of what I think is happening, because I do think some of the things that those reporters going into attack mode are trying to figure out and find out and, I guess, get – what are they looking for, an admission of guilt somewhere? I don't know what you're going for.
You got me.
I don't know why he needs an admission if he is in assumption that everyone watching already knows it. So just go with your assumption and write articles. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Don't forget to go check out our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. Tillers, pressure washers, stump grinders, bulldozers, troll machines, all at Valley Equipment Rental, located right there on South Memorial Parkway. Just call Ross and Tanner and the guys today, 256-964-6081, 964-6081. They're going to get you in the best product for you, either around your house for a little project you have, or at your construction site.
I like projects. I really do like projects around the house.
Next segment, Brandon Marcello is going to join us to talk Auburn football, Kyle Davis being dismissed from the football team, what the wide receiver position looks like moving forward, and I'm sure something in reference to play calling going back to the 1930s in some other league will come up as well.
Cole, it's not completely wrong. You know what's crazy is there's a lot to digest from one press conference, and usually we don't have that much, especially from Gus Malzahn. We play Nick Saban all the time because there's usually something interesting from there. Gus Malzahn's very rarely that interesting in his press conference, but there's a lot to digest yesterday, and if you heard some of that.
Was he interesting, or were the questions interesting? Was he interesting, or were the questions interesting?
Well, the one question was extremely interesting, but the way he answered some of them was interesting, yeah, too.
All right, so take a break, come back. Brandon Marcello talks more Auburn football next.